Hi gang, thanks for downloading this classic episode of News Fighters. Just a reminder, if you're looking for new original episodes of News Fighters, they're now over on the Irrational Fear podcast feed. So search for Irrational Fear on your podcasting app or go to irrationalfear.com for all new episodes of News Fighters. In the meantime, enjoy this classic News Fighters episode.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most handiest podcast network.
This is News Fighters, where we fight the news so you don't have to.
With Dylan Behan.
Yes, hello, fighters. Dylan Bain here. Welcome to News Fighters for today, February the 10th, 2021. Joining me later in the episode to talk through the news of the week is ex-Tonightly writer and Raw comedy winner, Beck Melrose.
Man, I miss the days where you couldn't just yeah, nah, science. Like, do you remember encyclopedias? You couldn't just go, nah.
Yeah, nah.
I think I got a better idea.
But first, let's catch up on some wacky headlines from the past week.
Pharmacies will be able to administer the COVID vaccine under a new plan being developed by the federal government.
5,800 pharmacies across the country will be given the option to administer the jab, starting with people over the age of 50 from May.
Yes, finally from May, you should be able to pop down to your local Chemist Warehouse for a 200-pack of paracetamol, a bottle of the Shane Warne fragrance, and a COVID vaccine. Unfortunately, the COVID vaccine will be right on the top of their very tallest shelf. So, sorry, Grandpa, if you can't reach it, no vaccine for you. And this pharmacist on the news seemed very excited to be injecting people.
Nearly every pharmacy will want to be involved in this because we love our patients.
Thanks, mate. I'll just grab the jab and go, if that's all right. I don't want to hang around any longer than I have to. He also seemed to think that demand for the vaccine will be huge.
If it was anything like 2020 flu vaccine, it's going to go crazy.
Oh, wasn't it huge? I mean, I've still got my 2020 flu vaccine to a poster on my wall. Oh, great memories. And it turns out the government has an ambitious timeline for rolling out the COVID vaccine.
We aim to have the country vaccinated before the end of October.
October, yes, perfect. Just in time for winter in the Northern Hemisphere. Federal Parliament was back this week and Scott Morrison was trying to neutralise the opposition on climate by almost setting a target.
Our goal is to reach net zero emissions as soon as possible and preferably by 2050.
Yes, thanks, ScoMo. That's exactly the same kind of language I used with my parents in high school when I didn't want to mow the lawn. Yes, Mum, my goal is to mow the entire lawn as soon as possible, preferably by the end of the weekend. National Senator and giant tomato Barnaby Joyce isn't in love with these vague intentions.
The one thing I can assure you that none of us are going to be in this building in 2050. Many of us will be dead.
In 2050, we're not going to be here. I won't be voting on it. And you won't be commentating on it. And there'll be people we've never met before in our lives who'll be in this building.
You know, for a guy who keeps popping out kids, he doesn't really seem to care much about their future, does he? Yeah, 2050, we'll all be dead. But what about your kids, Barnaby? Oh, crap, I left them at the pub. We're at a pub. No, the other pub. And in sports news, what a surprise. Racism.
An independent report has found the Collingwood Football Club is guilty of distinct and egregious racism, concluding it's a systemic problem within the organisation. But the president of the club says he will not be stepping down earlier than planned. Instead, Eddie Maguire has called this a historic and proud day for the club.
This is an historic and proud day for the Collingwood Football Club. So I am
Extremely proud.
Proud, Eddie? There's nothing to be proud about with racism. You don't come out to your friends as an out loud and proud racist. This is Australia. It's just expected that you're a racist. After copping a lot of criticism for the comments, Eddie Maguire apologised. But then there was more bad news.
Channel 9 says he won't be stood down from hosting its game show.
Yes, it turns out racism in the AFL is a bit like Millionaire on our TV screens. If you've done it more than 2,000 times over the last 20 years, what makes anyone think that you'd stop doing it now? Okay, now I'm not sure if you've been paying any attention to the news lately, but there's been this thing called the coronavirus. It's been a very big deal. And this week marks a year since it got its official name.
The deadly strain that's now responsible for more than 1,100 deaths, mainly in China, has been given an official name. COVID-19.
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 The name is a contraction of Coronavirus Disease 2019.
Yes, hard to believe that before that we just referred to it as SARS-2 Electric Booger Flu. Okay, so celebrate's the wrong word. To mark the occasion of the first anniversary of COVID-19, I thought it might be a good time on this episode to look back on a year of predictions about the pandemic and see what the media, health officials and politicians got right and what they got wrong. Anyways, let's start by going all the way back to the very beginning. Over my summer holidays, I went through my vast news recordings collection, and I think I managed to find the very first mention of the coronavirus on Australian TV. Now, this clip is from the ABC News channel. It was during the day on January 10th, 2020. Now, as we watch it, let's see what they got right and what they got wrong as we play along with my new favourite game, Pandemic Predictions.
The World Health Organization says a mysterious new virus detected in the Chinese city of Wuhan is likely to be from the same family that produced the deadly SARS and MERS outbreaks.
The virus has been identified as a coronavirus in some of the affected cases. There's still a lot of work being done to try to work out exactly what this coronavirus strain is. It doesn't appear at this stage to have had any of the concerns about there being any person-to-person transmission of this virus. And there also doesn't appear to be any mortality linked to any of the cases that have been affected by the virus.
Oh, so close. Yes, the ABC, they're receiving negative 1 point with its January the 10th coronavirus predictions. Now, the very next mention I could find was from SBS World News 2 nights later on January the 12th. Let's see how they went.
Perhaps the single most reassuring fact about this outbreak is that there is no evidence yet that the new virus has spread from one person to another, say Chinese officials. But just how fast is the new virus spreading? So far, not very, say Chinese officials. While there have been over 40 cases in December, medics haven't seen cases rise since.
Ooh, yes, SBS World News receiving negative 3 points there. Oh, how little did they know. Now, believe it or not, the very next mention I could find on Australian TV wasn't until a week later on the breakfast TV show Sunrise, of all places. Now, have a look and tell me if you think they placed the coronavirus story in the right position in the news lineup here. Have a look.
There are fears a deadly illness could soon hit Bali after a second case was reported in Thailand. The mysterious SARS-linked virus has already claimed 2 lives in China following a breakout in Wuhan. Indonesian authorities are now screening all visitors who enter the country. A remarkable video of a toddler riding a hoverboard has sparked fierce debate online.
Oh, yes, I would have loved to have been at the Sunrise Rundown meeting that morning. So do you think we should put the kid riding the hoverboard before or after the deadly mystery illness? What do you guys think? Yeah, end on the hoverboard story? Yeah, I agree. Yes, the Sunrise hosts did show some concern, at least, for their holiday plans.
Fairly frightening turn of events there, but something we'll be keeping across.
I know, just terrifying. Another thing for you and I to be paranoid about.
Mm. Not going to lie, I've scrapped Bali off my to-do list this
year. Add it to the paranoia list.
Why do the Sunrise hosts have a paranoia list? Why are they paranoid all the time? Are they just sitting around smoking bongs with Koshy and getting paranoid? Did you see the kid on the hoverboard? Crazy, man. It wasn't long before daily government press conferences made TV celebrities out of our public health officials. They became as big as MasterChef hosts, but with better hygiene practices and less wage scandals. Now, here's one of the first times we saw Chief Medical Officer Dr. Brendan Murphy on our screens. This is on January the 28th. Now, join us and play along as we play Predict the Pandemic with him.
The main message that we're trying to give still to the Australian public is that there is no cause for concern in the Australian public. There is no human-to-human transmission of this virus. And it's important to note, because we've had some media about masks today, there is no need for the Australian public to wear masks. The medical advice and the World Health Organization advice is that complete travel bans are not an effective additional measure. All of the previous experience with these coronaviruses is that people are only infectious when they're symptomatic.
Jeez, Chief Medical Officer Brendan Murphy there on January the 28th, 2020, getting -5 on Predict the Pandemic. And just imagine if, like, say, the Chief of the Army was that wrong on the eve of a major battle. Oh, guys, there's no risk of the enemy's bullets killing us. There's no need to wear that bulletproof armor. The guns don't even shoot real bullets. Look, it's very weird to look back on how little we knew at the time and how naive we were. And indeed, how overly confident we were in our own self-containment measures. Here's Dr. Brendan Murphy again on April 24, basically bragging about our hotel quarantine system.
Because we are now quarantining formally every return traveller, the opportunity for a return traveller to infect locals is essentially zero.
Okay, now let's check in 2 months later with Victoria and see how that hotel quarantine system went.
At least 50 cases can be traced back to the quarantine hotels where security staff broke the rules.
Of course, we all sadly remember how Victoria's second wave spiralled out of control from there. A week later on July 6th, Victoria had 127 cases. Across the border in New South Wales, they had only 10. And luckily, that's when the interstate borders went up.
Good evening. First tonight, we are about to take an extraordinary new step in the battle to stop Victoria's second wave of COVID-19 from hitting New South Wales. From midnight tonight, the border between the two states will close.
Victorians are now effectively living on an island, cut off from every state and territory in the country.
Yeah, I mean, Wodonga really wasn't worth visiting before you needed a permit. Now it was really not on my list. And then, less than a month later, on the 2nd of August, the daily numbers in Victoria had sadly increased fivefold.
The state reported 671 new cases overnight. New South Wales recorded another 12 infections.
Of course, it seems obvious with hindsight that the closing of the borders is really what stopped the second wave escaping out of Victoria. And luckily, the other states were not subjected to the hundreds of deaths or the 111-day lockdown that Victoria had to endure. And so a month later, on September the 3rd, a day in which Victoria recorded 113 new cases, what did Scott Morrison call for? That's right, the borders to reopen.
Australia was not meant to be closed. Australia was meant to be open, Mr. Speaker. Australia must become whole again, Mr. Speaker.
Jeez, it's good we didn't listen to that guy. Look, obviously, advice was going to change throughout the course of the pandemic. Like in April, when Scott Morrison told us not to wear masks.
On the wearing of masks, the medical expert panel, we accepted their advice that it is not recommended by the expert panel that they are necessary to be worn. And importantly, it's important to note that the wearing of such a mask does not protect you from infection, but if you are displaying respiratory symptoms, then it is at best a measure that prevents you transferring it to others.
Jeez, it's good we didn't listen to that guy. That advice was a bit like saying men don't have to wear condoms because there's no chance they'll get pregnant. On the same day he said that, April the 24th, which was when we were still emerging from the first wave, Scott Morrison also decided this was a good time to call for aged care to open up.
Aged care homes have been given an ultimatum to relax strict rules against family visitors or be forced to.
The PM issuing this warning.
We are not going to have these as secret places. where people can't access them, they must. And we want to make sure that these facilities are open to their loved ones to be able to go and visit and to continue to go and engage with them.
Jeez, it's good we didn't listen to that guy. Because you know what was on the news the exact same day?
A 96-year-old woman has died at the Newmarch House in Western Sydney, the fifth death at the aged care home.
Yeah, that's right. Scott Morrison was calling for aged care homes to be opened up at the exact same time as the Newmarch House outbreak was well on its way to becoming probably the most deadly outbreak in New South Wales, with 19 residents losing their lives, almost a third of New South Wales COVID deaths to date. And it didn't stop there. At the same press conference on April the 24th, Scott Morrison insisted that schools were safe to reopen without social distancing. Which is ironic, because I thought the Liberals hated safe schools.
In other news, the Prime Minister insists social distancing rules don't apply in school classrooms.
He hit out, all but telling those who want social distancing in classrooms to back off.
The 4 square metre rule and the 1.5 metre distancing between students during classroom activities is not appropriate and not required. I can't be more clear than that.
Oh, hey, and speaking of bad advice, remember when Scott Morrison told us the best way to stop the pandemic was to download an app to our phones?
The federal government has launched its contact tracing app, which it insists is crucial to control the spread of the disease.
Download the app. That is Australia's ticket. Download the COVID Safe app.
Download the app today.
Download the COVID Safe app.
Downloading the app.
Download it.
Okay, how did that go?
Labor says the app is a failure after it picked up just 17 contacts.
$17 million has been spent tracing just 17 people, not found by contact tracing teams.
That's such bad value for money, even the people behind Quibi were like, nah, that's too expensive. Even our Reno 911 reboot got like 19 people watching.
Only on Quibi.
Yeah, and geez, it's good we didn't listen to Scott Morrison on lockdowns either.
We can't expect there to be no cases. That's not success. Because what success is that we live alongside the virus, we deal with the challenges that come along, we keep opening up the economy. But as long as we are closed, we cannot claim success as a country. If we are shut, we are not living alongside the virus. The virus is actually keeping us from living. That demonstrates, I think, in New South Wales how effectively your states can respond to this. And the best protection against the virus, to live with the virus, to live alongside the virus, and to open up your economy. You don't protect your economy by continually shutting things down.
Since then, Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth and Sydney's northern beaches all endured some short, sharp lockdowns by their premiers to stop the virus spreading. And it worked, which predictably meant that the PM stated last week that of course he's always been in favour of these lockdowns.
Right from the outset of this pandemic, it had always been my view that localised lockdowns were a good way to suppress the virus and its spread through metropolitan areas.
Look, of course, a lot of things have changed over the past year as new information and strategies have come to hand, including our entire overall strategy. When the pandemic first hit in March and April, we adopted a strict suppression strategy, basically trying to flatten the curve to make sure there was enough capacity with hospitals and ICU beds.
Eliminating the virus is not considered an option. The task instead, managing the infection so that those who need intensive care can get it.
But then in July, after the Melbourne outbreak, it subtly changed.
A meeting of National Cabinet reaffirming Australia's suppression strategy with the ultimate aim of no community transmission.
The National Cabinet's position has always been an aggressive suppression strategy, and that remains our view, and it's certainly the view of my government. The goal of that is obviously, and has always been, no community transmission.
Now, how this is different from New Zealand's elimination strategy, I'm not sure. But we didn't want it to sound like we were copying New Zealand, because God knows we already have enough fights about the ownership of crowded house pavlova and flat whites.
Elimination doesn't mean zero cases. It means zero tolerance for cases. It means when a case emerges, and it will, we test, we contact trace, we isolate, and we do that every single time with the ambition that when we see COVID, we eliminate it.
And look, in my opinion, I'm not a scientist or immunologist, I'm just a hobo with a podcast, but this change of strategy from suppression to basically elimination with a slightly different name has really served Australia well. I mean, look at Canada. They're still going under a suppression strategy, for instance, but they've allowed thousands of cases per day, and it's resulted in over 20,000 deaths, over 20 times the number in Australia, despite them having a very similar population size. And on top of that, the big cities have had to endure painfully long second lockdowns and curfews, resulting in the closure of lots of small businesses. It's the absolute worst of all worlds. It's like if Justin Bieber and Celine Dion and Nickelback were all touring together. It's the absolute worst thing you can think of. Look, there's no doubt that Australia's response to COVID-19 over the past year is absolutely world-beating and something that we should all be proud of.
What success is that we live alongside the virus.
Not you. Look, Scott Morrison is going to try and spin it as if it's all his doing and take credit for it heading into the next federal election. But ultimately, I think it was more a result of our state premiers taking action and competing against each other for who would have the lowest case numbers and the safest state, and then sledging each other all at the same time.
Interstate rivalries intensify as the relationship between the New South Wales and Queensland premiers hits a new low.
We'll just let New South Wales be New South Wales.
She is now the victim of a policy that she put in place herself.
I just urge the New South Wales government and people in New South Wales are to look outside of New South Wales at what other states and territories are doing in order to crush and kill the virus.
It was kind of like rugby league state of origin, except with all the states competing, a few less concussions, but as usual, ignored by the entire world's media. So in conclusion, geez, it's good the state premiers didn't listen to this guy.
You don't protect your economy by continually shutting things down.
Australia was not meant to be closed. Australia was meant to be open.
We can't expect there to be no cases. That's not success.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yes, welcome back to Newsfighters, and joining me now is Raw comedy-winning comedian and Newsfighters news correspondent, Beck Melrose. How are you going, Beck?
Very well, Dill. Thanks for having me back.
Great to see you. Now, let's talk about the news of the week. You can't not avoid talking about Craig Kelly, if you're looking back on the past week in news and politics in Australia.
Yeah, I'd love not to talk about him, but hey, he really dominated the headlines this week, didn't he?
I guess he had a bit of a altercation, is the word.
Yes, I've seen it called a fracas, a stoush. I don't know what you'd call it, but whatever it was, how Tanya talked about it, man, I don't know how she stayed so calm, but it was one of my favourite news quotes of the week.
It was great. Let's play the clip of Tanya was delivering a piece to camera to the journalists, and then the subject of conversation turned up. Let's play that clip now.
Speak of the devil.
Taxpayer-funded... Nong.
and he will appear.
There's that nong now.
Liberal MP Craig Kelly was spoiling for a fight with Labor's Tanya Plibersek in the halls of Parliament this morning.
Tanya's normally the one.
As the two clashed over his enthusiastic support for unproven coronavirus treatments and for casting doubts on vaccination.
Okay, taxpayer-funded nong is the quote of the week from Tanya Plibersek there.
Oh, and nong that, is a... It's fighting words, isn't it?
Look, the dictionary defines a nong as a foolish or stupid person, so I would argue there are a lot of taxpayer-funded nongs.
It's been like... He's like a personification of all your uncle's Facebook posts come to life. It's been unbelievable watching him this week.
He is. And huge as well. Like, I know they said Scott Morrison, you know, took him aside and read the riot act to him, but I think part of the riot act is like, can I have some of your followers? Like,
yeah, right.
He's so huge on social media.
Imagine getting roused on by ScoMo. I get the impression that he's the kind of parent that behind closed doors would be like, oh, come on, mate. You know, pull your socks up. It wouldn't have been a dressing down.
But it also would have been like, now you should stop doing this thing you're doing that's incredibly popular. Like, yeah, it would have been like, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Little wink.
Keep it up, because all those Facebook followers, you know, now it's the conspiracy theories, but come election time, it'll be, you know, election propaganda and memes and election ads and stuff. So, you know, he's just like, build up the Facebook following before the election.
Yeah, don't do anything to get them to leave your Facebook. They can come in handy.
Which brings me to my next point. Should all the MPs be posting conspiracy theories now just to try and boost their followers?
Well, it seems to be working for them. Why not?
What kind of conspiracy theories would you like to see people post?
Oh, I reckon the more batshit, the better. It seems to be that's what's working for him. So, I don't know, pluck something from the air. Moon landing, why not?
Yeah, fake the moon. Yeah, we just want to see, you know, Albo saying the moon landing is faked.
Yeah, it could help. I mean, you've got to give it a try. I mean, you don't seem to get any punishment for it.
Yeah.
It only builds up your follower base.
I noticed Josh Frydenberg is a regular poster of conspiracy theories about tax cuts boosting the economy, which to me is just batshit crazy. Oh, that might as well be a conspiracy theory. Yes, so ScoMo gave Kelly a dressing down this week, and they're worried he may lose his Liberals pre-selection, but... There might not be the end of the parliamentary career for Craig Kelly.
Yeah, the National Party stepped up and kind of slyly offered to say that they'll take him in if things don't work out with the Libs. But I just don't think he's enough of a poet. You know, Kat is really leading the way in the poetry. Imagine him being interviewed about Craig Kelly joining the party. Everyone's entitled to their conspiracist proclivities. May 1,000 hydroxychloroquine doses bloom. But I ain't spending any time on it. It's just not going to be quite the same.
I mean, the Nationals are famously anti-climate science, so just bring in all the anti-science people.
Yeah, why not? Man, I miss the days where you couldn't just, yeah, nah, science. Like, do you remember encyclopedias? You couldn't just go, nah.
Yeah, nah.
I think I got a better idea.
Yeah, imagine in school. Nah, sorry, miss, evolution's your theory.
But my auntie posted. Yeah.
H2O? I don't think so. That's not.
Sounds like a chemical to me.
Yeah. Moving on, the other big story of the week, of course, was the vaccines are coming, thank God. Scott Morrison was saying that Australia has secured 10 million more Pfizer doses, which means we now have 150 million doses for a nation of 26 million people. Do you think this is enough, or should we double down and get 150 million more?
Oh, why not? Like, I mean, if some people's fridges fail, you want to have some backups, don't you?
Yeah. Will they just turn into like Domino's $5 pizzas? They'll just become ubiquitous. I don't know. I know that they're saying there's going to be a COVID baby boom, but I don't think they actually expect the population to triple by the end of October when we're all going to be vaccinated.
I don't know. We've had a lot of time on our hands this year, haven't we?
Are you looking forward to getting the vaccine? What are you going to do when you get your vaccine?
I'll probably treat myself to a little ice cream afterwards, I reckon. They've been doing that in Russia. I think that's something I'd be keen to do as well.
Oh, to encourage people to get vaccinated, yeah. They've been giving them free ice cream.
I'll get myself a paddle pop on the way home. I deserve it.
Because you know what everyone loves in the middle of an Arctic Russian winter is free ice cream. What, you know what my theory is? They just had to clear out some freezer space with all the vaccines coming in. What do we do with all these ice creams? Here you go.
That's cold.
What should Australia do to encourage people to get vaccines?
I reckon sausage sizzle. It works at Bunnings.
Perfect. That's the only reason anyone turns up to vote.
Absolutely, right? It works for everything else.
You go down to your... Yeah, so set up... So instead of at the Bunnings out the front of your Chemist Warehouse, they should have a sausage sizzle when you go in for your vaccine.
Get the GPs to really earn their co-payment, you know, flipping the snags.
Yeah. Yeah, no one would want the I got a vaccine Band-Aid thing. They'd just turn up to work with a half-eaten sausage sizzle. And your mates would be like, oh, you got the vaccine today. Did you get onions with it?
It's the best part. You can't miss out the onions.
You got to have the onions with your COVID vaccine sausage sizzle.
Bugger the antibodies. I'm all in it for the sausage sizzle.
And the Olympics are back in the headlines. Are they happening? Are they not happening?
Yeah, the Olympics are back on. They've issued a playbook to try and help out with COVID, which includes rules like no cheering, only clapping, no singing, no hugs, no high fives, but nothing really on preventing the virus from actually spreading.
Yes, they also said no quarantining and no vaccines required.
Yep, so I don't know if no high fives is going to cut it.
So what are they going to do when someone wins a gold medal? You're just going to stand there and go, "Humph." Cheer with your mouth closed.
Can't even sing the national anthem. What a shame.
Yeah. Can you even mouth the words?
Everyone will be wearing masks,
won't they?
Of course.
Will they be wearing masks on the dais as they get their medals?
You can't even lip sync, can you?
No.
No kind of RuPaul.
That'll make covering the lip syncing at the opening ceremony a lot easier, though.
Yes, that's very true. If you're a pop star, you're in luck.
Yes, exactly.
How are they going to present the medals? Can't even put a medal on someone's neck.
I think maybe, you know, those clasper things they pick up garbage with in the park? Maybe they'd hold the medal, pass the medals to the winners with that.
Imagine training your whole life to have a garbage picker-upper put on your medal.
Or it's Japan. Maybe I saw they have the room service robots in Japan. Maybe they'll have the little Roomba robot things deliver the gold medals to the... Oh, it fell in the pool, damn.
Yeah, the Roombas, they're not effective. It's just going to be in a corner bashing back and forwards on a wall.
All right, thanks for wrapping up the week there, Beck. For those of you who want to check out more of our banter, we're doing a special February bonus episode on Sans Pants Plus where we relive the episode Beck hosted of Newsfighters a year ago when we first talked about coronavirus. Ah, good memories.
Oh, yes, we were so naive, weren't we?
It's very, very funny, and the episode is very weird to listen back to today.
Yes, so I can attest.
We'll be talking about that and playing the episode in full with some outtakes, which people haven't heard before. So make sure you tune in for that. And Beck, where can people catch you?
They can follow me on Instagram. Until then, I have no shows to plug.
Yes. Well, hopefully, Sydney comedy is going to return to pre-pandemic levels soon, which still wasn't very good. So hopefully we can exceed that and get some more gigs.
Everything's more crossed.
All right. Thanks again, Beck Melrose.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, that's Newsfighters for today. It was written, presented and produced by me, Dylan Bain, for Sans Pants Radio. A big thank you to Beck Melrose for stopping by. For our full chat, check out the extended interview and our upcoming monthly bonus episode on Sans Pants Plus. Quick reminder, like us on Facebook, Twitter and subscribe on YouTube. Keep fighting and bye for now.
This is Newsfighters, where we fight the news so you don't have to.
Around 150 passengers from the Diamond Princess have been released from a Darwin quarantine centre after spending the past 2 weeks in the top end.
We haven't had toast in over a month. We're looking forward to sourdough toast and Vegemite.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.